Welcome to the Multifamily Zone, where business meets family. We explore what the entrepreneur life looks like from the family perspective. Now, here are your hosts, Julia and Gino Barbaro.
Hey, everyone. This is Julia Barbaro, host of the Multifamily Zone podcast. I'm here with the co-founder of Jake and Gino, my husband and co-host, Gino Barbaro.
Now, the second time was so much better, Julia, wasn't it?
I just have a confession. I always mess up that intro. It's so always. Simple. And every time I look over at Gino, I mess it up.
So it's my fault, everybody. Yes, see how it goes? It's okay. We've got a great guest today. Let me introduce today's guest, Matthew Bizzaro. First of all, awesome name. Love the last name. He's an award-winning broker and owner of the Bizzaro Agency, the newly elected REBNY, Upper Manhattan Real Estate Brokerage Committee co-chair, real estate coach, and a father of four. Like that. He's got a couple more to go. Got to keep pushing it. He has lived in Upper Manhattan for over 20 years and his two passions, real estate and community service. His passion for real estate is obvious. And thanks to the hashtag support Uptown initiative, so now is Matt's capacity for kindness and caring. When not working, he enjoys spending time with family. Matt's a traveler whenever an adventurous opportunity presents itself. And yes, the kids have to come just like us. It's about vacating. When you vacate with your family, everybody. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Matt.
Hey guys, thank you. It's an honor. It's an honor and a pleasure.
You must be like, what did I get myself into? I promise we're going to get a little serious because for me, like yourself, real estate, community service, and I would also say to you, probably fatherhood and a family are our three passions. We're very much aligned in those. And I talk about the business aspect of it, and she's going to talk about the family relationship. So she'll pull me back. I won't make it too much business and real estate, Julia.
It's hard to have two realtors going on.
You can pull me back too.
So why real estate for you? Tell me about your journey, how you got into real estate and why you selected real estate.
Well, the story that sort of, you know, as your life unfolds and God puts you in places and you don't really know what's going on until you look back later. So I actually moved to New York City in 2001 to be a teacher and to run community service programs for a high school. And it was amazing. And I wanted to live in the community where I worked because that was always very important to me. And so I moved to New York 7 days before September 11th. Which was an interesting thing. This was my third day at my first real job at a school. And so what happened was about a year and a half later, I realized very quick that it was almost impossible to live in New York City on a teacher's salary. So I was like, all right, I need to find other opportunities. And my grandfather was actually in real estate and in New Jersey. And so I got an opportunity to do a part-time position with for the summer for, you know, the real estate company that I got my rental with. I first started, you know, I have the work thing, right? I first started with one of my best friends from college. His dad owned restaurants downtown. So I was doing the waiter thing. It was in Midtown, 57th and 7th. It was lunchtown, high business suits, power, everything. Right. And, I lasted a couple of months doing that. And it was very good money, except there was only sort of so much time. You know, you bring somebody their Diet Coke and they say, excuse me, please take this back because there's two ice cubes in here and I only ordered one. You know, so life is too short for these kinds of things.
So for all the YouTubers, I'm not going to curse, but I would give that like middle finger right up at them and go, how about I, you know, take one of them out and wow.
Yeah, it's, you know, family show, right? Yes. But so that sort of began my journey to know that there was more. I've got so many stories, but it got me into real estate and I was hired as a part-time rental agent. And I trial 3 months. I made the trial. Then I went from part-time to full-time as a rental agent, but then I really didn't like the rental game. Mm-hmm. Too much hustle, too much running around. Here you go there, you know, hey, there's a place. I don't care if you're working. You've got to come up and see it now. Mm-hmm. Okay. You're in the apartment. Hey, look around. Do you want it? $5,000. Mm-hmm. Can't think about it. All you want to think about? Sorry, it's been rented. Mm-hmm. You know, lather, rinse, repeat. And there was never a human, like a real human connection for me for that. And then I got the opportunity to do my first sale. And my first sale, I remember I just got it from picking up the phone and somebody was gracious enough to give me their listing, and I sold it. And through that process, I really learned, because in the city, especially in New York City, it takes for, we have things called co-ops, which everyone else around the world might shake your head at, but those take 3 to 4 months to get approved from start to finish. And so that allows you a lot of time to really journey with your clients and get to know them, you know, their family and their pets and all these wonderful things about them. And so you can really establish a relationship. And once I had that experience, I knew this was way more me, you know, and in the path I wanted to go down. So I was teaching and doing real estate simultaneously for over 10 years. Wow. And as I was doing that, I kept growing my sales business. But like you said, it's based on people, based on just connecting and working really well with people and getting their referrals and their friends and their families. And pretty soon, you know, we had a really good business. And then that allowed me to move into sales full time. And then I was with my former company who at a team meeting announced he was selling the company to a big corporate office. And I saw that playbook and I said, wow, this is not for me at all. Mm-hmm. And so that allowed me to take sort of the next step in my journey, which was opening up my own agency.
Matt, let's dive into when you made that decision.
Yeah.
You're working full time as a teacher. You're probably working another 20, 30 hours a week as a sales. What did that look like? How did you make the decision to leave something that's 9 to 5 that feels really cushy and dive into the sales job that is what we say a little bit more risky? Although to me, the same amount of risk, because there's never any certainty with the 9 to 5. You can always get bought out, sold, downsized. You know, walk me through what your thought process was.
Well, I had a little easier push down my path, but you know, as you see that, you start to just realize, you know, your passions and where is more of your time being spent and where are you really enjoying and what's giving you, you know, more to life. And I love teaching. I love teaching those girls. It was a all girls Catholic school, actually, ironically, which was a good education in itself. But it was a high school, and, you know, and I appreciated every moment I had there. But what actually happened, so for my story, for my journey, it was almost like I was being led, because what happened was our school, as with unfortunately a lot of the Catholic schools, especially in New York and probably around the country, is they're downsizing and enrollment is down and expenses are up. And so you could start to sort of see the writing on the wall for our institution. Mm-hmm. And they went through a couple tough pivotal years that they made it, but that you didn't see a future on that. Mm-hmm. And so what had happened was they actually end up announcing that they were closing. Mm. And so I had the thoughts of, okay, you know, what is the next step and making this happen? But it was actually expedited by them, you know, announcing one day they closed the school. So, you know, and I have a great story on my on that day. Now, that was not a huge surprise, because sort of the writing was on the wall, it was becoming more apparent. But on that day, they announced that officially, they announced to everyone that they're closing school. It was a really sad day. You know, it's horrible. It's heartbreaking for the kids, especially like at least the seniors would graduate, but all the kids or the freshmen that just started mm-hmm. out to find new schools. I mean, it was a heartbreaking day. And then I went from my old office was just a couple blocks from the school. And so we went down, we had a team meeting that day. So we got through that day, then went down to my team meeting. And then at the team meeting, our boss announced that he sold the company. So I actually lost, talk about insecurity, I lost two jobs on the same day. So that was the wake up moment. And it said, all right, it's put up or shut up. Are you going to go status quo, or are you going to do, you're going to follow your passion and do what you know is right and what you want to do and what makes you different, you know?
What makes a great real estate agent? What are the skill sets that you have that really propelled you into that career?
What makes a really great real estate agent now is people. Mm-hmm. You have to be so consumer focused and consumer centric that everything you do has to be for the people and providing value, because real estate agents are essentially, they're a dime a dozen, right? There are, I don't know, 30 plus thousand of them in the five boroughs. So if you're not providing value and you're not listening and connecting and doing things with the clients, then they're just going to find somebody else.
Give me some examples of providing value for the sure. listeners.
So we specialize in, you know, an area in Upper Manhattan in the Bronx. Now we do deals all over the city, but we really focus in because it's a place I've lived, a community I call home. About 20 of our agents live in the neighborhood. And we realized because it was Upper Manhattan, so what we call that is north of 110th Street. So because of that area, it's sort of a little geographically less desirable, right? If you think you're coming to the city, you're going downtown, or you're going to Times Square, you're going to Soho, and you're doing all these things, but nobody really comes up. Mm-hmm. And I'm okay with that, right? There is some tourism, but it's more residential, it's more parks, it's more neighborhood, there's more families, it's more of like a people make it home. Mm-hmm. So I've always been really attracted to that. So we're able to provide value for really knowing the area, right? I mean, if I had a dollar for every agent that's new, that's using Google Maps to find buildings or trying to find out where the train is, I mean, that's not helpful. Mm-hmm. Because the consumer either knows that or they can find that out on their own app. Mm-hmm. Like they don't need somebody else. Mm-hmm. So I think being able to bring some additional knowledge and obviously now experience to the table, because especially a lot of first time home buyers right now, they have Google and YouTube. Mm-hmm. So they know everything, mm-hmm. because obviously everything on the internet is true. So we have self-proclaimed experts come to us all the time. And obviously, I put egos aside, I don't care about that, but it's more about being able, can you educate? And this is what I put my teacher hat on all the time, and being able to educate. And you say, okay, well, this is really how it is. Here are the expectations. And from the lens you share of truth and honesty and transparency, because, mm-hmm. and what I've learned is people don't like to hear the truth, mm-hmm. but it's the truth. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to tell it to you. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, a lot of times people are really thankful for that.
So the Blue Ocean strategy that Matt Bizzaro really adheres to, my wife is looking at me going, Blue Ocean strategy, he's going to go fishing right now. Blue Ocean strategy is something that's unique. You want to be in a small pond, right? Not in a big pond and fighting with everybody else. He's Upper Manhattan, which is not quote unquote as desirable. He provides a ton of value. He's out there giving the truth, and he actually listens to people, which is really a huge skill that most people don't understand. And Stephen Covey, what does Stephen Covey says? He always says, seek first to understand and then to be understood. So when you're out there as a real estate agent or out there as a business person, you always want to know what the problem is, and not just going out there and saying, well, this may be the problem. No, I want to hear from the prospect. What are they looking for? And then Matt is out there providing the solution. Does that make sense, Matt?
It's 100%. And people don't listen. And if you can tell me you want a one bedroom for $400,000. Okay, that's great. But there's so much more to that. Like, mm-hmm. why, you know, or you're upgrading to a two bedroom. What do you need the second room for? What are your motivations? What is driving you to make this? Because a lot of times it's those motivations that will not only help you, you know, be able to find the right place for them, but it dictates everything.
Mm-hmm. Can we dive into real quick the core values and the mission statement? Because I want to turn it over to my wife. I'm going to let her talk a little bit about the family, right? Because for me, core values and a mission statement translate so beautifully into how you should run a family and how you should maintain your family. Because if you don't have values for your family, you don't have a mission statement, it's going to be like your business. It's going to flounder. You need to put attention and details to it. So dive into yours.
Family-wise or business-wise?
No.
Business.
Let's go into business. Start with the business.
Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, something my wife has always said is, you know, you have to put out like a mission statement. You have to have a goals. Like, what is the objective of your family, right? So you have like that North Star that you're working towards, especially so when times are super tough, right? You can still kind of get through it, and you know kind of what you're working towards, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, our business-wise, our you know, our mission is simple, is to provide an extraordinary personalized real estate experience, mm-hmm. you know, for our agents and our clients.
Mm-hmm. And core values?
Core values are, we always put clients first, or put people first. We deliver exceptional service. We practice with integrity. We pursue excellence. And we go beyond closings.
So R is people first, make it happen.
Oh, I like that.
Growth mindset, unwavering ethics, and extreme ownership. And it took us a few months to flush all of those out. And we have different entities. We have a lending arm. We have a property management arm. We have an investor arm. And we have an education arm. And all of those permeate throughout. And Matt and Gino at the top better adhere to those mission statement and core values, or else they don't mean anything. They're just a marketing blitz. So we need to live by those core values. So everyone out there, write those down, get some ideas for yourself. Because when you get off the podcast, if you're seriously about becoming an amazing entrepreneur, business person, realtor, mom, dad, whatever it is, you need to start creating your own core values and living by them. Because you're going to be attracting vendors. You're going to be attracting employees. You're going to be attracting all these people towards you based on your core values. When I had my restaurant years ago, I didn't have core values. I didn't have a mission statement. And I was always blaming the employees. Well, I'm not attracting the right people. I can't find a good employee out there. I don't have that problem anymore because I have these core values worked out and I'm adhering to them every single day.
And that's massive to have. You know, you have to walk the walk. If you're not going to walk the walk, mm-hmm. don't talk, because people are going to see through you, you know, mm-hmm. especially the consumer.
Yes.
You know, and you just, you know, if you follow and practice what you preach, you're going to attract like-minded folks, mm-hmm. you know, and that's great. And that's why I like truth and transparency, right? As we were talking yes. about before. So like, I want to attract people that are attracted to being honest and truthful, because that's how you're going to make things happen
yeah.
at a much faster rate.
You know, it's funny because that's something that my husband talks about is who you're surrounded with. Is important.
Proximity, baby.
It's everything. Yeah.
So I know my husband, for his company, is very particular, and they really do a lot of work on hiring the right people. So could you tell us a little bit about that, the importance of finding the right people for your company?
Yeah, I would encourage any, obviously, real estate agents or entrepreneurs at all. It's you need to attract a group of folks that is going to align with your values. Mm-hmm. Because when you have people that are working, you know, you have to have everyone working for the same goal, right? And the same mission. But there's more that you could just say, oh, I want to be the top salesperson, or I want to make an invention, or whatever it is for your entrepreneur dreams. But if you don't have an amazing team that believes in what you're doing, mm-hmm. you're never going to take off. Mm-hmm. You could be okay. You could be fine. You could make a living. But it's not going to go to the next level unless you have folks that have buy-in and belief in what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And you need to be very clear about what that is. And then, like you said, you need to lead by example.
Love
and
that.
That's going to gravitate the folks that are right. And to your point, it takes longer, mm-hmm. you know, because not everyone is up for that. And if you're the head, you need to be okay with that. Mm-hmm. And you need to have unwavering standards about who you bring into your organization. And we've been very blessed to be growing every year, but we're not growing at the pace we could because I have standards when I talk mm-hmm. to people, mm-hmm. you know, and you have to be a right fit, because I know if you're not, then down the line, it's not going to work. Yeah. Like, you're just starting the clock,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yes. I love that. And there's a book I would recommend everyone to read. It's called Same Side Selling. And Matt just mentioned the word finding a fit. You're finding impact together, FIT, that acronym. Even when you're onboarding a customer or a client or somebody you're going to show a home to, or somebody on your team, you need to find impact together. How is it going to work for the both of you? Because if it's only a win-lose or lose-win, it's not going to work. It needs to be a win-win for the both of you. And you need to really find that impact together and share those mission values and those core values with the people that you're trying to onboard. And like Matt said, it's a long game. That's why most people don't want to do it. They're really transaction based, right? To build a company and to build equity, it is like the farmer. You need to plant the seed, to water the seed, and to make it come to fruition. And when the hail comes, you may damage some of that crop, but it's just continuing on.
Yeah.
That's That's amazing.
Can I go, family?
Go
let's
there.
Let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsors, and I promise we're going to get some family questions in.
Hey, Wheelbarrow Profits family. Are you struggling with ways of teaching your kids about money and financial literacy? Gino, I think we have something to help them. Tell them about it.
We've been hard at work creating the Jake and Gino Youth Academy. The Academy takes a deep dive into good money habits, setting up a budget, investing, taxes, the difference between an asset and a liability, and so much more. This is a great opportunity to spend time with your children, to be their role model when it comes to money and investing, and learn how to set them on the right path to financial success.
If you want more information on how you can become the next Youth Academy member, visit www.jakeandgino.com/education to begin your journey to financial freedom.
As we like to say at Jake and Gino, people with financial intelligence can change the world for the better.
Okay, we are back. And Matt, I just want to thank you for this is a great, you know, everyone go and visit the bizarroagency.com. I love, you know, one of the things I loved about your website is you had the similar values, similar mission statement as Jake and Gino. And I really, that was something that really
did you copy us? You didn't copy us, did you?
Didn't, but it's hard to copy brilliance, you know?
Yeah, there's no one brilliant in this room right now, that's for sure.
You know, one of the things that we do, the reason why we have this podcast, really, the Multifamily Zone, is, you know, my husband being in business all these years, I realized raising a family, having a business was so similar. You know, it's pretty incredible. And so that's why we could talk about business and family in the same, you know, in the same conversation and making that human contact with other people and putting the clients first, seeing, listening to them, getting to know what they want. How do you do it at home? Because it's different. Right. Because I'm going to be honest, it's a little bit harder. It's a little harder at home because you have a lot of emotion at home and it's all the time and you have little children. So tell me about the dynamics between you and your wife, Jen.
Yeah. Well, my wife is amazing. And I mean, she's the rock, right? Mm-hmm. She makes everything happen to allow everybody else to succeed. So mm-hmm. I'm very, very fortunate. Look, I'll be the first to admit, like some days it's complete and total chaos,
yeah.
You know? So I've got four children. My oldest is seven. Mm-hmm. So 7, 5, 2.5 and almost 6 months. Mm-hmm. So it's also a time where the little ones are not in control, but in control.
Yes.
So we have a whole kind of, lots of personality. And so how do we do it? I mean, we're still figuring it out. Mm-hmm. You know, we're always trying new things and trying to adapt and finding that system. And when things work, we keep doing it. And when they don't, we stop doing it. We're not, you know, I think that's a, you know, a fault. Sometimes people keep doing this has to work. This has to work. Well, don't just pivot, you know,
practice. So makes progress. I'm sorry to cut you off.
Oh, I like that.
Practice makes progress. We're still trying to figure it out. We have a 21-year-old down to a 6-year-old, and there's 6 of them running around the house, and we have controlled chaos.
The 21, she doesn't really run around.
Well, she makes me. I'm going to give you a quick story about the 21-year-old. And this is a really important lesson for everybody out there when you speak to your children. And I've learned, taking me years to learn this. One day I got really upset with her, and I got really mad. Few months ago, and I know she's listening to the podcast and she edits the podcast, and I yelled at her. And then my wife turns to me a little later and says, would you ever speak to one of your employees that way? And I never would speak to one of my employees that way. And I'm like, wow, that is really deep for me. I never thought of it that way. Just because they're your children, you have no right to yell at them and speak to them that way. You're fostering, I don't want to say hatred, but that was such a teachable moment for me where I could have use a lot more grace at that point. So when you're angry and mad at your kids, just take a time to reflect back and to pull back. And we don't know everything. That's part of it. It was part of fear. I wanted her to do something, get her to do it. And I was almost feeling as if I don't push her or inspire her that she's not going to do it. But at the same time, I felt really bad.
Well, as a parent, I feel like we feel responsible if they don't do anything. If they do something wrong, we feel it's our fault. We didn't mm-hmm. teach them properly. So maybe that was the issue.
I don't know. It was just, I felt really bad and I had to reflect upon it. I'm like, I would never, yeah. I wouldn't speak to my employees that way. I don't.
But that's why my point is about this real question is that it's when you're home and you're trying to listen, just like you are with your clients out there and my husband with his students, you are more patient with them. You ask them questions that make them think. And at home, it's easy to just tell them what you're thinking.
Be a tyrant or a dictator. Like,
yeah. Well, okay.
We don't want to be that way,
you know,
right?
What I mean.
Yes. Yeah.
One of the things that I learned, well, I'm still learning, yes. right, is that they're their own people.
Yes.
And I didn't realize that for a long time. And you can't, now this is going to sound off, but you can't control them.
Right.
And I don't mean like, you know, you said dictator control,
yeah.
but
yeah.
I want you to do this, but that doesn't mean they want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to really work on that, like that's been a big growth thing for me is being able to look back and say, okay, they're their own person. Mm-hmm. Even if they're a little person, mm-hmm. they're still their own person and they have their own personality, they have their own everything. Mm-hmm. So, you know, knowing that you can't control another person, similar to your clients and similar to yes. all those other things, but we tend to, I think, reflect more on children
mm-hmm.
about wanting them to do what we want
mm-hmm.
at that exact time,
yes. mm-hmm.
then they might want to.
Yeah.
There are obviously points in life when you need to tell your child certain things about money, about teaching, certain teachable moments. But at the same time, I think our responsibility as parents is to have them grow up to be young adults, to make their own decisions and to leave the home and to be responsible adults. And that may be hard sometimes when they're 12 years old and they want to buy something and you're like, wait, you can't buy that right now. When you get older, you'll understand. So
right.
you obviously have to pick and choose, but at the same time, you ultimately want them to be happy and healthy and be able to be a functioning adult when they grow up and not look upon you to tell them what to do. Because if you've been telling them what to do for the first 18 years of their life, what happens when they go out on their own? Mm-hmm. They're not going to know what to do because they've been always told. So you're there to guide them, to let them make that mistake. And then obviously let's talk about it. Let's discuss.
Well, Matt,
it.
You had said, you know, you can't control them, which is completely true. And I've talked about that before. But you can't control them actually, because you can't control their thoughts. When you actually force them to do right. something, they're actually deciding to do it. And I think that's important. And you do have, you as a parent, you feel like you have control, but it's a moment when you realize you don't, that you let go a little bit and you see them as a person, just like you said. And
makes,
as they grow
it
up,
all the difference.
It's even more, it's like, wow, let me explain my reasoning first before I just tell them what to do, the reason why behind it, and let them do it. They're already doing it anyway. You know what I mean? So I think that's important.
Absolutely. And in addition to that, right, teaching them skills.
Yes.
I mean, we just had a thing the other day. I can't recall exactly what it was, but with our oldest son. And we're like, well, do this. And then Jen and I looked at each other and we're just like, wait a minute. He has no idea
yes.
what this is.
Yes. Right.
And we're telling him to do something.
Right.
He doesn't yeah. know what it is.
Yes.
Right. So something, yeah. even though they're little, we sometimes think they're bigger than they are.
Yeah.
And
or we think that they know
them.
That skill already that we've never taught them. And it's very
to
frustrating.
Give them those.
Yes.
That's where we're going back to the business. It's like
yeah.
an employee.
Mm-hmm.
Go do this. Well, the employee may not know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you need systems in your business to be able to tell them what to do and to guide them. And we created the Youth Academy, Jake and Gino, mm-hmm. for that reason. Because people with financial intelligence can change the world for the better. And if our children aren't being taught this in school, we need to teach our children about money and about investing and about growth mindset and about personal development. All these skills that are not being taught. So don't assume that your child knows it, because most adults don't know these things
mm-hmm.
and to have patience with them and to make it fun.
So Matt, how do you incorporate the kids in the company and your wife?
So, well, my wife is the CEO
okay.
of the house and the company, right? But so she's the backbone.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, it was interesting before COVID,
mm-hmm.
I would always give every opportunity to bring the kids along when I could.
Right.
My oldest would come on, you know, walkthroughs
mm-hmm.
or inspections, you know, when you would do sort of things that maybe weren't essential pieces, but they could start to join you and feel where like they had to go measure something and bring them along with the measuring tape,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the clients mm-hmm. will do their thing. And,
mm-hmm.
and, or if, you know, if it's families, then the kids can sometimes play together. So we used to incorporate a lot, you know, of putting them in play as much as we can, so they can just start to see that. But obviously, since COVID, it's been a little bit different because the hands-on, especially here in the city, has been a lot less. And, you know, even the Real Estate Board of New York is reducing showings and amount of people in the area. So a lot of that stopped. But they definitely help around the house with some of the projects. And I would be completely not truthful if I didn't say, well, I recently found out that my daughter can pick the lock on my door. So I was on a good client consult and she came busting in. So, you know, our clients they join us on Zoom sometimes, you know, and in the beginning it was very uncomfortable, but now I just welcome it. I think it's that whole struggle now, but you look back in it and you can create joy from those good stories.
Yes.
But you know, at the end of the day, look, if I'm consulting you or we're talking about properties or you want me to sell your place and my 3-year-old or my 2.5-year-old comes in or my 5-year-old comes in smiling and giggling and jumps in my lap, like if you have a problem with that, you know, we're probably not a good fit.
Mm-hmm. That's what I said, that word fit, right? It's really important.
That's it.
You have hired Julia's brother. And this question really is important.
All right, it's out there now.
This is really important because who should consider a career in real estate? I mean, everyone out there listening, you know, they're all entrepreneurs who listen to the show, family people. Mm-hmm. Who should really, I mean, consider? Because I know that the attributes that my brother-in-law is, he's a hard worker. He's very intelligent. He's a great listener. He loves to work in structure, loves the framework. And I think he gets joy out of learning. So what people should really be focused on, hey, I want to get my real estate license, but I really want to make a difference in the world, not just to get it, mm-hmm. to get it part-time.
I think it's people. Mm-hmm. I think we find the most success and our agents that are super successful are focused on people. I mean, yes, it's a sales job. I even hate that word, sales. We never use that word.
Mm-hmm. It's a senior people. Business advisor. That's what you senior need to call them.
There you go. You know, advisor, right? Is mm-hmm. such a great word because it's a people business. Mm-hmm. And you're in the service business, not even just serving you, like, you know, helping you out, but you're in a service business. Like, how can I listen and give you all that I have, my heart and everything, to help you make this? Because real estate is huge, right? Real estate is almost every time the largest purchase anybody will ever make, buying or selling, in their entire life. Like, it's a big deal. It's not like you're buying something for $399. Mm-hmm. And if you don't like it, you just get something else. Mm-hmm. And so it's a big deal. And there's a lot of emotions and it's starting and ending chapters in your life. Mm-hmm. You know, I like that every home you've ever been in, I consider a chapter in your life, every address. And you start one and you close one. And that's a big deal. And I think what we're seeing, the most successful folks are really focused on people, mm-hmm. and understanding that it's not a job. Yes, you can do well and you can make a good income, mm-hmm. but it's a short-lived income if you're not focused on the right things. And if you're chasing money, mm-hmm. then you're going to be that salesman. Mm-hmm. But if you want to serve, then, you know, good things are going to happen. So it's based on service. It's folks that enjoy a freer schedule. Now, obviously, you can attest to this, that you work for more than 40 hours a week, mm-hmm. but, you know, it's on a schedule that has, you know, it has flexibility, and you kind of want to work sort of on your beliefs, you know. So we've had a lot of folks join us that were at jobs that they just didn't like, mm-hmm. and they had no fulfillment in. Mm-hmm. And if you're watching that clock every day, just waiting for that day to be over, like, yes, okay, there's some security in an average paycheck, but you're not happy. Mm-hmm. And if you're not happy, like, what's the spillover effect? Mm-hmm. What, you know, you're not happy. Okay. So you're not being the person that you can be, your best self. And then you bring in that home and maybe your spouse, your wife, your partner, your roommate, you're miserable to them, or your family, your kids. And, you know, what's the cost of that? Mm-hmm. And, you know, so to be able to, you know, someone that's just not happy and sees and knows they have a bigger purpose, because mm-hmm. serving others and helping people is, there's great mm-hmm. fulfillment to that. And I think a lot of people are really drawn to that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that's beautiful. I love what you just said. And, you know, you're helping people create their life story, like you said, with each place that they move into and they make it their home. And I think that's important to remember, is that that's part of their story.
He's painting a picture. We all need to have that visual picture of the story. And I think the relationship that goes in real estate more than a lot of other occupations, you really need to have a great, great relationship with everyone else. And what I love about real estate, everybody eats at the table. You have the broker, the mortgage broker, the title company, the CPA, the attorney. Everybody eats at the table. It's an amazing business. It touches so many different lives, and you can get into any aspect of it. You can get into sales. You can get into investing aspect of it. Just select one, because there will always be a need that you need to fill. Zillow's great. Craigslist's great. Auction.com is great. But at the end of the day, people want to pick up to somebody that they know, like, and trust, and they have confidence in and understanding, because deep down inside, most people think they know it all. But when it comes down to it, they've never closed in a home. And they're like, what is the WDO inspection? What is a 30-day due diligence? How much money do I need to put down? All these questions stop popping up. And people do not lack motivation. They lack clarity. And Matt and his team can bring that clarity to anybody looking for a home. Questions, Joel?
Yeah, no, that was good.
She's not.
You're pretty
head.
Smart. She really know what good. You
said. We're gonna edit that piece out, everybody. So I love talking real estate, because it's transformed my life from, you know, starting part time as a part time investor, then growing into it, then starting the education. So I think it's an amazing endeavor for anybody to really think of, and it's a basic human need. We say in multifamily, it's food, clothing, and apartments. So we have a basic human need that we are fulfilling to others. So anyone looking for long term viability where they can really enjoy and create those relationships, that's real estate for you.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
No. So Matt, tell the listeners where they could get a hold of you. I want to hear all about the website.
Yeah, well, they can always find us at our website at bizarroagency.com. My handle on Instagram is @meetbizarro. And basically, you just put Bizarro in there, we'll come up. but yeah, I mean, we're happy to talk about real estate. We're happy to talk about family. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, it's just about connecting, and we love to connect with just good people. So we're here to help. We're people of service. So
Bizzarro was his name-o, because it's Barbaro. So I know the Italian name's going to be a little bit deceiving right now. Two Z's and two R's. Julia, picture this. 7 days before 9/11, Matt moves into the city. I don't know what he was thinking, right? You don't talk about bad timing. That's no timing, right?
Yeah.
9/11 happens, but he was led there. That was his statement. And what I love about it, he got a set of cards were dealt. That was the hand that was dealt. He could have folded that hand and complained, but he didn't. He stuck with it, which is what an entrepreneur normally does. We commit and then we figure it out. That's the important part. Then he starts and he becomes a teacher for 10 years. He likes that aspect of it. He loves it. He sees that that is a dying occupation, that he's going to be getting pushed out. So he goes full time into the rental. He does his first rental, but in that process, he goes full time into the rental business. And then that fateful day when he leaves the school, he finds out that his company is also sold. He gets a 2-for-1 that day, but he doesn't quit either. He continues on. He starts his own agency and he begins the Bizarro world. And, you know, 10, 20 years later, 4 kids, I don't know how many agents, over 100 agents. I'm correct.
We have not yet. We're on our way. Good. We're on our way.
So that's the next time we speak to you. It's going to be 100 agents, right? I challenge you for that one. So it's been amazing. It's an amazing journey. It's an awesome journey from humble beginnings as a teacher all the way to creating an amazing group and an amazing. What I love about it, you have the core values, you have the mission statement, you have everything laid out, and there's growth that's going to happen, even in a slow market like New York. And my last thing I will say, I did not bash New York at all. I went through 40 minutes without even criticizing New York. Whew, that was a miracle right there. That
well
was
done. I cannot believe well it. Done. I cannot believe it. I do want to invite you and your family down to Florida and St. Augustine, because it is incredibly beautiful and warm. And yes. Maybe you'll reconsider, you know. Might be down here selling. Well,
absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We'll get the RV rolling
so
and get right
oh
down.
My gosh.
Thanks, Matt. Yeah. We appreciate the call. And we just want to thank all the listeners out there for spending part of the time with the Jake and Gino family. And Everyone, let's go out there. Let's live our core values and let's make it happen. Thanks, Matt.
All right. Take care.